Welcome to episode 350 of the 2-Minute Takeaway Podcast. Hi, I'm Ken Ockel. For these numerically significant episodes, don't hear that phrase every day, I like to throw out the format. So let's do that. I want to give you a cut from one of my live speaking presentations. Let me set it up. I have just talked about a study that found that replacing an employee can sometimes cost you as much as 2 times that person's salary. We'll then go from there into a discussion of ways to engage your employees through better handling of work email. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. Hope you enjoy this special episode.
The breakup is often what holds back organizations, and this talk is about keeping the band together because I was thinking about music. And how many of us have had that group that we just connected with, even if it's a boy band? And you're just like, they speak to me, they get me. And then one day you hear, they're breaking up. They're pursuing other projects. They can't stand each other. They don't let each other do enough solos. And sometimes it works out great. But usually, years later, people in that band, they say, man, we were good. And we shouldn't have let all those little things hold us back because something about all of us together as a team just brought out the best in us. And usually this is right before they announce that they're going on a reunion tour. But you get the picture of how that works there. So when you got a good team and you got good people, it makes sense to try to keep them around. So one of the first major areas I'm going to be talking about is something I call email less, talk more. Now first, I've got some scary statistics about email. I looked this up just the other day. A new study came out that says every day in the United States and the United Kingdom, a lot of surveys tend to include those two countries, perhaps because they're large English-speaking countries, but anyway, in those two countries, every day there are 109 billion business emails sent every day. Now, I know for some of you, you feel like they're all in your inbox. I understand that totally. The scary thing is, 109 billion right now, and that's not counting funny pictures of cats. These are all business emails. By 2018, it's going to be up to 139 billion. So it is increasing. How does this translate down to all of you? Well, for most of you, average person, 75 emails a day. I would imagine for this type of group, you are probably getting way more than that. You're probably pulling up the average. Now, the frightening thing about this is all those emails, 75 to 80 emails a day, they are taking up 28% of your day. So you're spending a tremendous time. And I look at it as well that those 75 emails, those are 75 interruptions. So you're working on something, you're in a good groove, and you see that preview window open up, and you're just like, I better answer that. Better get on that. So let's talk about some strategies that I found can work with companies that are trying to make their emails a little better. The first one, don't overwrite. Something happens when you put a keyboard in front of somebody, their inner Hemingway comes out, and things get more complicated, and you have to reread the email a few times to understand just what it's about. Let me give you an example. So see there, the guy's holding a coffee cup. Let's say you had a visitor coming into your company. Under normal circumstances, you would say to them, if it was at a meeting like this, how do you like your coffee? It's a very direct message, it's easy to understand, easy to answer. What happens is when someone starts to write an email, and I'm only slightly exaggerating here, it becomes, coffee is a delicious beverage that some of us enjoy in the morning. Some of us prefer to have our coffee with nothing inside. This is called black coffee. Some of us prefer to have sugar or some sort of other sweetener in our coffee. And a third group prefer to have some sort of cream, skim milk, goat's milk, or some sort of something in there. I don't even know what. How do you like your coffee? Imagine if you got that email. You'd be like, I'm afraid to drink coffee. These people are crazy. But we do this every day. We are giving way too much detail. So you need to really think about how would you say it to someone? When I worked in TV and we're writing a story, usually we're writing it for the ear because we realize that people are doing multiple tasks while they're watching the news, various things are happening. So you got to make sure you're very clear and direct and you give them a very easy path to follow. Next one, Email does not contain tone. Now, have you ever gotten one of these messages? Call me. Usually, there may be three scenarios, but I'm probably pushing it there. The first one is, the project you've been working on is going great. We are going to be amazingly successful because of you, and you're going to get an immediate raise. Call me so we can celebrate the good news. Maybe. The next one, Ken, you know how that software works really well? Well, I think I just deleted a bunch of information, so call me and let's see if we can fix it. The third one is where I usually go. Call me. Something is wrong, and I think you're involved with it, and you should be worried. Now, what happens? What I have found, usually whenever I do get the third message, it's never quite as bad as I think. But there, they're being so brief that you don't have any context or any information. So I go to the nuclear option, where I'm starting almost to clean off a desk and pack up a bag, and I panic. And then usually I find out it's not that bad. But during that whole crisis time, in my mind, I'm no longer effective. I can't get anything done because I am in the freakout zone. So you want to make sure if there is some sort of context, you got to deliver that. Here's one that drives me crazy. People feel, especially with a group email, that they must respond. Often this will happen with the team leaders or CEOs who send emails maybe after hours or some other part of the day. So they'll say some sort of instructions to the team, and then everyone feels like they have to put their own 2 cents in, even if though there's nothing to the 2 cents. So the boss will say, we need to do this, 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 and this. And someone will say, sounds good. Next person, makes sense. Hey, great idea, boss. We once did something like that where I worked. Everyone's feeling like they got to chip in. And so before long, you log on, and there are 20 messages at least, and it's growing because everyone feels like, oh, if I don't respond, I won't look like I'm being a good employee. We have to stop this crisis before it gets too much more out of control. Originally, I think people did this because email was a relatively new technology. People weren't always as connected. But now we have our devices. It's easy to see if you have an email. See if there can be a rule in an organization where you say, hey, here's the instructions. Don't worry. You don't need to comment on it. This will save you a tremendous amount of time. People want to make sure they're being attentive to their boss, but at the same time, if everyone spent all that time on emails, it's not helping anybody. Here's the thing, too. Are we sending emails just because we're used to sending emails? Is it still important? One of the TV stations I worked at, I actually worked in a satellite office that was about 40 minutes away from the main station. Now, the good thing about this was that we had a little more creative freedom, and there were no bosses looking over our shoulders. That was fun. The distracting thing was we were always getting all these emails that were pretty much about birthdays, cake, and ice cream. So it'd be noon on today, let's say. Hey, cake and ice cream tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the break room. See you then. And we'd be like, okay, ignore that. Then the next morning, 9 o'clock. Hey, leave some room after lunch. Cake and ice cream at 3 o'clock. And then 2:50, cake and ice cream in the break room. And maybe people are responding to those emails saying, will it be chocolate this month? Will there be an ice cream cake? All those other emails start coming in. Now, eventually, we introduced the concept to these people of email groups. I wasn't upset that I wasn't getting cake, but as you're in a busy, stressful job, you don't need to be getting emails every other second about cake, ice cream, and birthdays. So people need to consider, would this information be better conveyed with maybe a sign that could be by a door where everyone walks by? Is email the best tool for getting that message across for those things that aren't essential items? And sometimes it's just about putting that mouse down and maybe, this is a little radical, talking to someone. I have seen situations where you have the people who are right next to each other who are emailing each other. It takes longer for them to do. And I realize in some places you got to be really quiet, or sometimes there's a great distance between people. So if you have to use email, can you start at the day? And this is where you got to make an email policy for everybody. You say, look, if it's an essential, time-sensitive email, boom, we send it out right away. But maybe during the day, you start an email, you leave it open, and those little items you just put in there. So instead of sending 5 different emails to your supervisor at the end of the day, they get one with all these things that they can do a speed round on and answer them all right away.
Would you like to bring me to your next meeting as a keynote or breakout presentation? Find out more about me and my presentations at my website, kenokel.com. While there, you can also watch some clips of me in action and find out more about my book, Stuck on Yellow. It gives you 26 productivity principles you can use right away. And don't forget about my YouTube channel. That's also under my name, Ken Okel. Our weekly productivity series is very popular. I'm Ken Okel. Take care.